Hello, good. Everyone.
We're gonna give it a couple. We're gonna give it a minute or two for people to join us here. It's beautiful here.
It is beautiful. There is a heat warning. It's 31 degrees Celsius.
Yes, super, super.
I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit for our American friends, but 31 degrees Celsius is hot.
Yes.
And we're in North Bay, Ontario, Canada, about 3 hours north of Toronto. So it is humid hot.
Absolutely.
And please, everyone, do not take that as complaining. We have very long winters. I will take this all day, every day over snow.
Yes, agreed. So today, for those watching us, just quickly here before we officially start, we're going to be looking this way because we're stepping up our game a little bit, eh, Dave?
That's right. You can't see, but we've got someone beside us right now, Raphael.
Yes.
We've got our videographer.
Yes.
He's behind the scenes. We'll show him to you one day.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, he's behind the scenes.
So we're actually videotaping the show for the first time, so that way it can be repurposed. So we're gonna try that out. So we're not ignoring you. We're looking over there on purpose, so please bear with us. We're trying to capture all these different platforms. So
absolutely
awesome. I'm excited about today's show. Yeah,
me too. And again, I'll let you just talk about the subject.
Yeah,
now.
So today we're going to be talking about working in your business, on your business, not in your business. And millionaires know this. They realize the key to success, one of the keys of success, is to work on your business, not in your business. And as real estate investors especially, there's so many tasks that I find it really hard to delegate, right? I always want to do everything myself. I want to make sure that control piece. But realizing if you study highly successful people, they are able to delegate tasks to other people. And we're going to be sharing our five rules on how we do that, how it helped us, and how it can also help you.
Yeah, and the thing with delegating, right, is people that are highly successful understand that, yes, you could do everything yourself. However, there's a max to that, right? There's a ceiling there. You can't keep growing because you're only one person, there's only 24 hours a day. So you need to leverage, right?
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. All right, Dave.
All right.
Are we going to start the official show?
The official show with the radio voice.
Here we go.
Okay, so hello, everyone. Welcome to the Investor Mel and Dave Show, where we talk about business, real estate, and entrepreneurship. Today is going to be working on my business and not in my business.
Yes, oh wow, well done. You'll need a glass of water after that voice.
I'll take Starbucks instead.
there we go. Awesome. So thank you for everyone watching live today. Thank you if you're tuning from your car and watch or listening to this podcast later on or on YouTube as well. So thank you for taking the time to join us today. We're going to be sharing the five rules of being able to grow your business, and you're going to do that by delegating. Now, this is something people think, oh, that's kind of a boring topic, but it's so, so important. And so many people choose not to do so. They want to control, and then they end up being stuck and not able to grow. So if you're somebody who says, I want to buy a lot of properties, or I want to take my business to the next level, despite whatever type of business you have, you want to grow, you need to learn how to delegate. We're going to talk about five rules today to help you through it. So let's get right into it. Or do you have something to add, Dave?
I was just going to say, you can't grow a business, whatever business you have, if you're working, you know, in your business as opposed to on your business.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So let's get right into it.
Let's get started.
Rule number one, you need to delegate tasks that you are good at. Yes. So the tasks that you're really good at, you need to delegate. So let's rewind and kind of see what I mean by this. So
I don't think people were expecting you to say that.
So let's
say
I'm good at what? How does that make sense? Well, I was really good at doing tenant screening, right? And you were very good at taking all the phone calls and whatnot.
And we're talking property management.
We're talking specifically property management right now.
Because we do real estate.
Because we're real estate investors. Now, just because we're good at it, it doesn't mean it's not a task that you shouldn't delegate. And let's face it this way. So at first we made this mistake. So we ended up growing. We bought, I think we were like 80 doors. We're still doing everything ourselves when it comes to the actual property management piece. And what happened is that we got stuck. We couldn't look at more deals. We were at that time, we were both still working full time.
We hit a ceiling.
Yeah,
right?
You just couldn't do it anymore. So, like, okay, well, either I need to pass along and, delegate it to somebody else, or keep doing it myself, but I won't be able to grow. That's just simple reality.
Absolutely.
But then it was that fear. Well, is somebody going to do it as good as I am, right? And the reality is, as an entrepreneur, I think we'll say, all of us would say, nobody's going to do it as well as you do because nobody cares as much. It's your baby. It's your business.
No one's you.
No one's you. However, let's say that I can, let's say I spend 8 hours a day doing these tasks related to property management. Or I can pay, let's call her Samantha, and let's pay her, I don't know, $25 an hour, just to use easy numbers. But it might take her longer because, she might take a couple breaks, or I'm going to work through it as quick as I can because I want to get to my next task. So let's say it's going to take her 12 hours. So, let's time it 1.5, 12 hours to accomplish what I'm able to accomplish in 8 hours and in a task that I'm good at. Now, if I do 12 times, let's say $25, that's $300 a day. Now, $300, yes, that's a lot of money if you want to look at it that way. Or I can look at it for $300, I just created an additional 8 hours for myself. In 8 hours, we can be looking at properties. We can be expanding our business, right? So for me, it completely makes sense to expand it.
Well, and the thing too is, yes, okay, if you look at just like Mel said, let's use strictly Mel's example there. If you take the $300 and you say, well, if you look solely at that, that's a lot of money, I don't want to do it and all that, okay. But if you look at, like Mel said, the 8 hours that you've just freed up. Now, don't take those 8 hours and go play Nintendo or go, have a nap for 8 hours. But if you go out there and if you're an entrepreneur, you go, you crush it, you do business, you find another deal, you get another property management contract, you find another investor, private lender, that $300 will multiply itself and continue to have, money babies and continue to multiply itself. So look at the bigger picture in that scenario. And if you know that you can go out and get it, then like Mel said, get someone who, replace that that thing that you're good at with someone else that can do the same job. Again, like Mel said, it'll take a little bit more time.
Yes.
But the bigger picture is what you need to look at. And that's where highly successful people, they don't look at these, is it the macro or the micro? I always get those two mixed up.
Well,
but the little steps, right? They look at the bigger picture. How do I get there?
Exactly. And they're not just going to look at, okay, well, that's $300 a day. That's a lot of money, right? Times five. Yes, but if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to grow your business, you can keep where you are, right? If you're at that stage where you can't grow anymore, and again, you're going to pretty much keep making the same amount of money, or you can delegate and carefully and wisely, and we're going to talk about the other rules coming into this, so that way you can continue to grow and expand and free up your time from these tasks, even if you're good at them, delegate them to somebody else, even if they don't do it quite as quickly as you get, or right now, you got to find that right person who's able to still do a really great job at it, and you're freeing up your time so you can work on your business, doing tasks that can help you explode your business instead of just staying stuck where you are.
Bigger picture, it's freeing you up. Leverage the time.
Yes, absolutely. All right, rule number two.
Number dose.
Yes, number dose. All right, this one is delegate the task that you are not good at. So do you want to start?
Yeah, and let's do some story time, okay? So when Mel and I first started, doing properties and being...
They're thinking, you're such a dad.
Dad.
Let's do story time.
Yeah. But it's because I relate to stories, and that's how I remember concepts and things, okay? So if we do story time, the way I look at it is when Mel and I were starting off, again, we were it, right? So the dump runs was me. So I would literally, I bought a little like $300 trailer. I hooked it up to our old van, and I was it, right? I would pick up mattresses, pick up couches, pick up garbage, do it, go to the dump, and I hated it, right? Or, like I would YouTube videos, how to change toilets. I hated it. But all these things, right, that I was not good at. I'm not a hands-on type of guy. I like looking at numbers. I like analyzing deals. I like talking to realtors and investors. So anything else other than that, like the more hands-on stuff, I didn't like it. And so this is the stuff we're not good at, right? And knowing what you're good and not good at, mm-hmm, is very important, self-identifying. But when my day was filled with those things that I'm not good at, I didn't like it. I was not happy. And then that's when you start to get negative, right?
Well, I can even think back at like doing bookkeeping tasks and those kind of things, right? It's like, I was doing it for a while, and then then I delegated it to Dave. So he got stuck doing it.
But you would do the viewings, right? So it was fair. I'll stay home, do the bookkeeping. You did the viewings.
Yes.
So it was a trade-off.
Yes. But it wasn't, you got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And I mean, it's not your expertise. We were getting by, we're doing it, but there's of course better systems, there's better ways, there's more efficient ways.
I was using Microsoft Word at some point.
I know, and I'm like, at least get PowerPoint. Upgrade to Excel at least.
Excuse me, PowerPoint,
Excel, yeah.
So think of how long that took me, like tick, tick, tick with Microsoft Word.
You know, there's
Word.
Formulas at least, and I mean, now there's QuickBooks and there's so many other systems that you can use.
It did force me eventually to learn Excel, so.
Yeah, so there you go. So, right, delegating these tasks. So, for us now, what do we delegate? We delegate things like, we delegate constructions, right? So, we don't do any repairs whatsoever, any maintenance whatsoever. We delegate the on-call system, so we're not on-call. Everything's through our property management team. We delegate when it comes to even, you know, through social media, our graphic designer for all the little posts and all that. That's not my specialty.
No.
And I'm not good at it, so I delegate that as well. So videographer, right? So now we're bringing in on a videographer as well. So all these tasks that I'm not good at, somebody else is way more experienced, can do it probably faster and better than I could anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you say that? Because if you keep doing the things you're not good at or that you don't like doing, you're going to get soured. And that's what I was saying. It kind of, you know, you'll end up, anyway, I can't say that. You'll end up kind of souring, and then you won't want to continue to do real estate investing. And that's the last thing you want to happen.
Yes. Rule number three, be a temporary micromanager. And I'm thinking, okay, I could always already imagine the feedback I'm going to get from saying that. But you know, this is your business, and you do need to micromanage for a while. You need to micromanage. You know, if you're going to be bringing somebody on, micromanage. Make sure they're doing it to your level of expectations, right? So often, we've had it. Oh, we're not. I mean, we've learned the hard way when we tried to say, "All right, here you go, go at it," and we did not micromanage. Then we started seeing the results weren't there, right? So being able to micromanage until you trust that the person is doing it well and correctly.
Yeah, and okay, I have to get this out because that's what I'm thinking is anyone who has kids, when you hear the word micromanager, what do you immediately think? And if you have kids, you'll know. If anyone's seen the Lego movie.
Oh, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
If you've seen the Lego movie, because one of the bad guys is the micromanager or whatever. Anyway, so whenever I hear that word now, I think of the Lego movie because of the kids. So hopefully I'm not the only one out there. otherwise, I guess I'm losing it. But yeah, micromanaging, and it sounds like such a bad term. But until you can fully trust people, or not even trust, they might have the best intentions, right? They might be good people that have the best intentions, that really truly want to do the best job, but they might not be ready. You might not have given them all the tools or all the information necessary. So micromanaging initially it's imperative, I find, because until you truly know this person's on the right path, doing the right thing, how you want it done.
Yes.
And again, it's you have to show them. You're basically setting them up for failure. So a little bit of micromanaging at the start to ensure,
absolutely.
You know, and then after that, then you can back off. But
we were very hands-on, I mean, with every aspect, right? And when we weren't, that's when we got ourselves in trouble because it's like, oh, wait a second, they're doing it their way, which is not necessarily with our values, how we want to do things and whatnot, right? So, and we can kind of quickly talk about a couple examples, like our property manager. How did we micromanage him at first? Well, at first it was like, okay, well, who's renting this apartment? And they'd say the name, and then I would go and I would do my own research and make sure that this would be a great tenant, and you know, just make sure we're on the same page. And oh, did he miss something? Okay, well, let's have the conversation. You know, you really need to check for this or check for that. And then after a while, I kept, you know, verifying. It's like, oh, okay, well, he's doing all his due diligence. He's on board. He knows our expectations, and he's doing it. So now I can back off, right? You know, even things we're not good at with the, let's say, construction piece. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, you know, now at beginning, right, we look at our construction manager. She's amazing. She gets things done. The cost is lower than it's ever been.
Doesn't make
with
sense.
Less crew. Like, it's just amazing, amazing.
Yeah, no, productivity's up.
Yes.
With less people and less expenses.
Yes, so. And done correctly, the tenants are happy, right? So it's like, okay, well, we're pretty hands-off when it comes to now because I know that it's at the level where we want it to be.
And think of this. Another, not dad story time, but another example is, I'm thinking, like, again, with the property management, because that was something where it's a big thing, right? You have over 100 units and you're going to be transferring over that responsibility to someone. Mel and I were we wanted to proceed with caution, right? So initially, you know, we would have daily checkups or, hey, what are you thinking? What are you doing today? Where are you spending your time? And then it became, you know, bi-weekly. And then now we have a once every Friday, once every second Friday, if we think about it, meeting just to get all on the same page. But it's no longer micromanaging. It's just, hey, where are we at with this? What are the timelines?
Well, it's from becoming
it's a maintenance. It's just
leading.
Maintaining.
I think it's becoming a leader. So now I'm not micromanaging everything, but yeah, show me KPIs. Where are we? What's the vacancy rate? Where are we at? How much are we spending on? Show me numbers. I want to make sure everything makes sense. But I'm able to see it at an overall picture as opposed to really nitpicking inside of it because
yes.
Now I know our expectations. And sorry.
You go.
All right. I win.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, no, I forgot my thought.
Okay, I'll
all
go.
Right, you go.
Okay. No, I forgot. No. Role-playing scenarios, okay?
Mm.
When you're micromanaging, you can't just tell someone, do this and this and this and then walk away, okay? And I know it sounds silly and not a lot of people do it. We do this with all aspects of our business and the people we deal with. We still do role-play with our realtors.
Yes.
Our real estate investor-focused realtors. We still do role-play. How are you going to approach sellers? How are you going to approach other agents? Creative financing. Explain it to me like you would explain it to them. Property manager, okay, take a telephone call. I'll pretend to be a prospective client who has buildings and wants you to manage it. Like, that's the thing.
And
it's like a sport.
Yeah.
You have to practice. You can't just go out and, hey, it's Super Bowl time. Let's just throw on some pads and do it.
Absolutely.
No, the proof is in the pudding. And when you role play and try it out behind closed doors and that type of thing, that's when you can truly shine when the client is there or the tenants have questions. You're prepared. You've done it before.
Yeah. And these conversations, I mean, I usually often, so we have a VA, lovely lady. She's from Mexico. Her name's Mary. She works with us.
Mary
Angel. And often my little routine is I'll check up with her on my way to the office. I'll call her on Bluetooth. We'll have a couple of conversations and that whole role play. Sometimes
yeah.
I'll say, okay, well, what did you say to this person? Okay, maybe next time, you know, that's fantastic. But next time also make sure to say this. Okay, perfect. Right. So having that role play and I'm driving anyway. So, right. So I'm being.
Like Tony Robbins says, right. The net, it's no extra time.
Yes.
Mel is driving from home to the office and office to home. So why not call Mary? Why not say what situations arise today? She might have a new situation that she had no clue how to deal with, which is fair, right? And then, you know, then you can have a conversation. So micromanaging is not necessarily a bad thing. If you do it to someone after 10, 20 years, well, you've failed that person in showing them how you wish they did their job, right?
And you got to remember as well, once you have that one person, if it's the right person, if you've done your job as a leader to train them properly, then they'll be able to train the next person. So yes, it might have taken you, let's say, 20 hours to really train that person to make sure, you know, okay, say this, what did you say to the customer? Well, okay, I want you to apply this, and this is how you do it, step by step by step. But then, I mean, ideally, in business, you're gonna use that person to train the next employee if they are at the level that you want them to be, right? If they're producing the results that you're after.
Yes, number four, profit sharing.
Yes.
Now, I know what you're thinking. I hated those words before. I had people explain it to me and I was like, no, that doesn't make sense to me. Give me the flat fee and I'm paying you for something and you just do it, okay?
Because you were in mindset, this is my business, I work hard for it, why would I give you part of my profit?
Yeah, it's mine. What do you mean you want a profit share? No, I'm going to pay you a fee and then you just go out and do it, right? I'm not going to give you some of our profit.
But Dave, this is the conversation behind closed door.
I was
Dave,
a dead no.
Think bigger picture.
I know.
Now, what if, and I want you to think bigger picture, if you're going to give a little profit sharing to somebody, all of a sudden they have a vested interest. maybe, you know, they're motivated to go that extra mile for you, to really treating your customers right, to really report, you know, if they're doing a walkthrough in the property. Let's say somebody is your, I don't know, property manager, or, you know, they're going through your properties, they're doing viewings, and they see a leaking toilet. And they might not report it because it's not really their job. That falls under the construction manager, although, you know, they really should. But are they going to, they may not bother. But all of a sudden, if they have a piece of profit sharing, wait a second, if that toilet's leaking continuously and water bill is going to be higher, that affects the bottom, right? So having people involved with the profit sharing, we love it. I think it's a win-win-win. They end up making more money. We end up making more money. So it just ends up being a win-win-win for everyone.
Yes. And you hit the nail on the head there, Mel. They make more money. You make more money. Accountability goes up. Productivity goes up. Like, profit sharing is such a beautiful thing. And I love how we went totally 180, where we hated it to loving it. And now, like, everyone I talk to or everyone that wants to do stuff with us, let's look at profit sharing, because I know when you've got a pony in the race or a dog in the race, whatever the saying is, it's just anyone that says no, it's human nature. If your income, which basically in turn is your source of how you're going to feed your family and yourself, if it's directly related to a bottom line, you're going to do a lot more work. You're going to care a lot more. And it, like I said, we're all human. It's human nature.
Yes. And some people say, oh, I care no matter what. And yes, you do care. But you're going to care that much more. You're going to care at least 10%, if not 50% more.
Yeah.
Because it affects your bottom line as well.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Yes.
Now, what's number five, Mel?
Number five was really about, you know, you being the leader. We kind of talked about it.
Okay, I got to say something again. Oh. Remember when we were in, was it Mexico or Dominican? Follow the leader. When you know they're at the resorts and they have those kind of like, it's 2 p.m. and they want to get the dancing going on there. Follow the leader. Anyway, whenever I hear that word.
Oh, jeez. Dave, it's always a surprise with you.
Well, all these little keywords make me think of experiences we've had.
Yes.
So you start talking, I'll have that.
All right. So back to the topic about business. So leader, being a leader, right? So we talked about micromanaging, but really becoming the leader. So that means, you know, being there, supporting them, verifying, make sure that they're continuing to stay on track and being able to make those tough decisions and paying attention. And that's something, again, it's kind of a combination between micromanaging and leading. So you want to make sure you're leading, overseeing once you know they're doing the tasks, but realizing that, okay, if let's say all of a sudden you're comparing numbers between 3 months ago and all of a sudden your expenses are really high and the productivity is just not getting done, like things aren't, and I mean, I'm talking about personal experience here.
Unfortunately,
from last year. And, you know, productivity.
No one that's with us now. Let's just say that.
Being able to make those tough decisions, right? So productivity was low. Cost was high. And we kept thinking, like, what is going on? And we're trying to have conversations. And, you know, this doesn't make sense to us. And our gut kept telling us there's just something not right in this scenario, right? The numbers are not making sense. We've always run our numbers and it always made sense. And all of a sudden now, the expenses are way higher, and anyhow, so really being able to lead the operations and going, wait a second, okay, I know you, however, there's something that isn't right, and being able to review your numbers, you know, again, if you're working with a bookkeeper or if you're doing your numbers yourself, and being able to retract yourself and make the decision, okay, wait a second, is there something happening here inside the organization that I need to deal with, and being able to deal with it. I mean, Gary Vee says it, right? You gotta take your time, hire slowly, and be quick to, right? Fire fast if it's somebody that you feel that, you know, is really truly affecting your business.
And my two cents on the whole leader, yes, the tough decisions, absolutely. If you're a leader, you've got to make them. And if you're going to be a good leader, you're going to face them head on. Now, the best leaders I've had, like growing up in different teams at work, different sports teams, hockey, the best leaders there, even in other professions, the best leaders I've had were people that didn't point you out, didn't make you feel like, you know what, if you weren't doing it correctly. They would literally, you know, not just tell you, or, oh, I'll just do it myself, you know, and no, they would actually let you do it, let you make mistakes. They'd help you along the way, didn't have to make a big scene about it. So if you're going to be a true leader, find how the person learns. If the person needs to do it and make mistakes on their own and learn, then that's the way they do it. If they need to see you do it to understand, then that's the way they do it. So understanding how different people learn and how they grasp concepts, strategies, and different things like that, once you understand how that person's going to mimic what you do or do it the way you want, then lead them. Let them do it that way. Just because you're set in this,
yes.
If they still get from A to B, but they've done a little something different to get there, you still went from A to B.
Yes, and that's a great point. Leading is not doing it for them.
No.
You are leading them in the right direction, right?
That demoralizes people.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all some people need, right? And maybe it's your own fault. Like maybe it is our own fault. Sometimes we're too quick and we're trying to, move on to the next task. Can you do this? Okay. And away we go. And we didn't have expectations. They weren't clear. Though that's not their fault. That's our own fault. We failed them, right? So leading them to success, not turning around, I'll just do it myself because it's easier. No, it's not easier. It's easier for today. It's not easier if you're working on growing your business. So have the conversation with them, set the expectations. Again, what can you be doing as a leader to communicate better, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I like this chat today.
Yeah.
I hope people, if you have a business or entrepreneurship, or even if it's your side hustle, take these 5 points that we've talked about today, get better, make yourself better, have a self-reflection. What out of the 5 are you lacking at? What out of the 5 do you excel at? Take that and have some self-reflection and get better at all 5, guys.
Yeah, and I was thinking today, just before going live, we're like, okay, once we're done, we're going live afterwards with our Action Family.
Yes.
And but we thought to ourselves, let's make a list. So let's reflect on our business. What am I working in the business? And then, I know it's hard. You want to do everything all at once, and sometimes that's not feasible, but let's prioritize. Okay, I'm doing these tasks. This needs to be delegated. And maybe it's, let's say, 3 different roles. Okay, which one do I need to do first? Which one do we want to hire? Are we hiring 3 at once? Or which one, otherwise, if that's not feasible yet, which one is the most important? Which one am I going to delegate first? So that's what we're going to be doing later on this.
The whiteboard
is going to be full of details and prioritize, right? So if you're at that level in your business, take that time to brainstorm. What can I do? Write it out. I love using a whiteboard.
We're visual.
Yes, we're very visual. So that helps. As soon as he writes something, I'll be like, oh yeah, what about this? And right? And then even getting other people involved.
And I'll sing a song to it.
And then he'll start singing and all, and then our director is going to say, oh, is Dave singing again?
But it's fun, right? So like Mel said, kind of any part or any level that your business is at, doing these 5 steps and redoing them all the time is very important.
Yes, awesome. So thank you so much. And you want to become a millionaire, you got to delegate, guys.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye. Enjoy. For now.
Awesome. Hey,
awesome.
Instagram.
Hello, we're back.
Raphael, you'll stop that.
Hey, Raphael. Thank you.
Hey, Instagram. Hey, Facebook. We'll have a 1 or 2 minute chat. And then food is ready for us, and then we go live.
Dave always puts his hand around me. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah. But you're holding me so close.
It's warm, eh?
It gets a little warm. I enjoy it, but it gets a little warm.
AC's on, but it's still very warm.
Yes.
So yeah, guys, thank you very much for following or watching today.
I don't know if there's any questions that we may have missed. There's some yeses and some thumbs ups.
Yeah, we may have missed some messages. Oh, hey, Alfonso. He likes my song, Follow the Lead. Let's go on vacation. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. Oh, yes. We had talked about a trip, Alfonso.
We had talked about it, actually,
yes. Once we can travel again, we have to have a conversation about it. Absolutely. Let's make some plans.
Absolutely. We were making plans for Alfonso.
Alfonso's going to be coming on the Investor Mel and Dave show, but because Alfonso's Alfonso and we love him and he's so special, we got to want to make it special. So he's going to be here once we have our camera. So we're going to be ordering your camera today.
Right, Raphael. Raphael's helping us narrow some stuff down.
Yes.
We're getting top notch here. So,
so
today we're
so
narrowing
excited.
Down some cameras, some lights, some whatever other stuff that Raphael needs. And
absolutely.
And we'll crush it.
Yep.
So Alfonso will be coming on the live at some point with us. Just we'll let you know when.
Can you tell a little bit about house hacking, please?
Yeah, house hacking. We honestly don't really do it. House hacking is like, you buy a house, a single family dwelling, and then you decide, hey, I'm going to put an apartment in the basement. So, the income property guys, that's what they do, right? Hey, I need to supplement my income. I'm not using the space. Why don't I put a unit in the basement? And that's house hacking, right? You make a house into a rental. It's not, we've never really done it, to be honest. I think you did it at your first ever building.
Yes.
But the zoning wasn't right, so
So I didn't do it well.
Yeah. But yeah, that's
I
not,
learned, but that, I didn't do well.
That's my very quick and dirty definition of it, but we don't, to be honest, it's not our play.
It's not our expertise, but I guess but I would say that if you're going to do it, make sure the zoning that you can do it. Don't just assume that, sure, I'm going to go ahead and do this, because it's depending of where you live, there's zoning rules.
Awesome, guys.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
We're going to have a quick little bite to eat, because we're going live with... Have an amazing day. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes, and go hydrate. It's warm outside. Go drink lots of water.
It's hot here. Everybody,
especially with the blazer
on. Yeah, you're hot with that. All right.
Okay.
Awesome, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye for now.